Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and in this special episode, I'll be talking once again to James Rushton, who is the host of the Holecast podcast. He's on to give us the opposition view of the Sky Bet Championship playoff final. We have much to discuss, but before I do anything else, I have to welcome James back to the show. James, how you doing, my friend?
Well, good, Russ. It's a pleasure to be on Cottage Talk. Unfortunately, the last time we spoke, the match didn't go well. I'm hoping for something more exciting this time. How you doing? You're good?
All good. Well, it went well for me, but obviously not for you there, my friend. But I have a feeling that we're going to see a very good match on Saturday. We're both going to be there. And what's great about doing this with you is that Fulham fans definitely enjoy the opposition view. It gives them more insight to how the other side is feeling about the match, the fans. So that's why I'm glad I could have you back on. And let's start from the beginning. Let's start and talk about the two legs for you. Let's start with the first one, the semifinal against Middlesbrough. And just give me just an overall view of that match.
So the first leg, if we're talking about the first leg, it was quite heroic in a sense. It wasn't the best football match, but I think Villa were plucky. They made their chance. It was almost like a pre-recorded set piece when we scored. And they held really steady against a strong team, and especially against Adama Traore, someone who is a threat. You can't deny
James,
he is a threat.
I want to stop here because I was going to mention this to you. When I watched back some of that match, you guys did a very nice job on him. Go ahead.
No, yeah, exactly. I think Villa deal with that pressure well. I think we've been written so many times, Russ. It's unreal. And against Wolves, against Cardiff, against City on the 1st of January, everyone's took steps to write us off. And I think you've had the same after your slow start to the season.
Right,
you've kicked on, and Villa have had, they've wobbled a bit. They've fallen off that second place. They fell down into the playoff places. And yeah, it was just good to see a clean match. That's the best match Steve Bruce has deployed us in. Villa looked like a team with one goal in mind, and that goal was getting to this playoff final. Look motivated, and I've never seen, it was a perfect football match in a way. I don't think you can look at it and go, well, Villa nailed their expected goals. They completed loads of passes. They didn't do the stats right, but they did their plan right. And their plan was to not sit back and hold onto the ball, but just deal with Middlesbrough. And I think they dealt with them.
You were in control. I watched that match. And the reason why I want to stop you and talk about Traore, because I watched it back again, parts of it. But when I watched it live, I just was, I wouldn't say amazed, but I was impressed with how you handled this player, because he is a huge threat to me. And he's one of the reasons why I did not want to see Middlesbrough, because I know how dangerous he can be. And the impressive part about this was to, one, get your goal, and two, keep that team quiet. That was impressive. And you were in control, James. So that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he threatened us. I'm not going to say that I wasn't scared. I'm not going to say I wasn't scared when Fabio was running at us, or George Friend or Downing were whipping him, but we dealt with it. And I'm happy, because you compare Middlesbrough and Fulham, there's an ocean of differences, but there's some similarities in how you perceive these threats. Adama versus Sessegnon, it's how you perceive threats. And if we can do it against them, there's a platform there to improve and perform that well against you guys. And I'm sure we'll come on to that discussion.
We will. And let's now move forward and talk about the second leg that you were at. So just give me your view on the second leg, and also the celebration at the end for you.
The second leg, it was one of the most nerve-wracking performances I've ever seen. Even though Middlesbrough didn't technically have a shot on target. It was a sold-out Villa Park. I was sitting in my usual season ticket seat. It was the loudest Villa Park I've ever heard in my life. And you have to remember, we beat Bristol City, who were elite our championship at the time, 5-0. Right. And we beat Wolverhampton Wanderers and Birmingham City. And it hasn't been that loud. I feel like the 12th man almost won the game. And I know that sounds so, proper football talk. But it felt like you were making a difference when you were screaming the team on. And you felt it on, you saw it on the pitch. You saw almost when you roared them, they went the extra length when you won. So, yeah, we really, if we held strong in the first leg, I believe the second leg was, there is a storm. You've just got to see it through to the end.
Okay, excellent there. Yeah. All right. No, listen, it was very impressive. Like I said, the two legs, Aston Villa showed me a great deal. I've seen it throughout the season, but to beat a team like that, you talked about some of the other teams you've beaten as well. You deserve to be where you are. You deserve to be at Wembley and Soda Full, and that's what makes this match so interesting. It's two teams that have earned it, and that's the way I look at it. Third and fourth, we've earned it, and now we play against each other at Wembley Stadium. Before we get into talking about that match, I want to get your thoughts. I don't know if you had a chance to watch Fulham's semi-final, the two legs against Derby County. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I didn't watch especially, but the first one really did catch my eye, because that was the moment you knew almost at Fulham they're not going to make this. They've walked straight into a trap, especially because you got lost 3-1 on the final. Well, was it 3-1 to Birmingham on the last day?
Yes.
And that's devastating. How do you bounce back from that? And then do you go into the next match and lose an even more critical game? I'm so surprised, and I think it speaks, you know, I'm gonna be praised for them quite a bit, I think, today, Russ.
Okay.
It speaks volumes of not necessarily the team spirit, but they walked. There's a mountain of adversity, goals down going into the second leg. You have, you know, yeah, you fixed up and you did the job, but that first leg, I think, it showed Fulham's vulnerabilities straight off, as well as that the game against Birmingham. I think Fulham, they can get very frustrated.
No, I hear you there, my friend. And listen, it was tough that first leg, and my hope was that it was going to be just one goal and have the opportunity to come back to Craven Cottage and do their business there, but. It's a valid point to talk about the Birmingham City match. And then you have this next match, and then to follow that up, being down a goal and to be able to find a way to get the two goals. And that's the impressive part. That's something that I knew that my team had, but they really showed it in that second leg to bounce back from a little bit of adversity. That's a good point by you. All right, what's now, before we really get into the match, I just want to talk about just in general, how much this match means to you and the Aston Villa supporters. Where does it rank?
It's up there. There's plenty of Aston Villa blogs that will, you know, are not going to disagree, but they look at teams like Arsenal and Manchester City and they say, hang on, their fans wouldn't celebrate a playoff final. But I'll tell you what, Russ, you know, if we were to beat you and I go up to the Premier League in your stead, I hate to say it, but nothing will make me more happier. And because Aston Villa, again, it's been weird, a team getting written off now. Suddenly, it seems like we're the underdogs in this match to win at Wembley. It'd mean the world for us to go back to the Premier League and really start showing the world we can build on this. And I'd be very upset if we were to take almost your place in the Premier League and not build on this. I'm sorry, sure. It would mean the world for us to go up. I think we don't have much chances with the amount we've ridiculously spent the last year, a lot of money wasted. We might not have this kind of opportunity again, especially with how the clubs that have come down have armed themselves. They've went, you know, Stoke went for Gary Rowett. West Bromwich Albion seem to be consolidating. We'll see what Swansea do. But I thought it'd be easy next season because of the quality. But these clubs are coming down almost with a plan. So we don't know where their chance lies. I think Fulham certainly have a better chance of getting promoted next year automatically than Aston Villa do.
Interesting. Very interesting there, my friend. All right. I was just thinking about this. What can we learn from the last match? We could even talk about the match before that, the two matches between the teams. First one, you won. Second one, we won. You were at Craven Cottage. Is there anything we can take from that? And I just want to mention you had two key players out. So that's a factor. You know, I'll call it a factor, but Fulham definitely did enough to win that match 2-0. You were without Grealish and I believe Odoma. But what are your thoughts about these two matches? What can we learn from them, if anything?
The biggest thing we can learn, aside from the fact that we were missing Grealish and Odoma, is that how dependent we are on a good performance from Sam Johnston, who 9 times out of 10 is a brilliant keeper. But in our last match against each other, we saw that moment of madness when he cleared the ball across himself and it landed to one of your men who plucked it into the net. I saw it hanging in. I was at Craven Cottage. I saw that go in from almost the halfway line. We can't give you chances because if we give you chances, you'll capitalise. You know, you're a team. You know, I'm not sure. I don't want to put my life on a limb here, but I'm sure if you aren't making chances, you'll happily take up team. But you'll happily take chances when teams give them up easily. So we can't afford to make those mistakes again. We can't afford to clear the ball across ourselves and leave an open goal. We can't afford to sleep on Sessegnon again. And again, in the first time we versed each other this season when we played at Villa Park, we didn't give you that time and we won. We didn't have a Grealish, and Adoma was on fire then, so we did have one of those two key players missing. But you know, it's always going to be that tale of two battles, and yep. Now we have it distilled into one match for us. So in my mind, I think Villa have got everything going for them. They haven't lost a key match in a while. They didn't lose to Birmingham, and they didn't lose their first leg. They've got a lot going for them. But when you look at Fulham, they've come through that adversity. They've had to fight for their place.
Yep.
It's going to be tough. It really is going to be tough. And we've seen in these two games that we've played each of us so far, both teams glaring weaknesses.
Yes.
You know, Fulham are a team that get frustrated. Fulham are a team, when the plan fails, they almost start, not, I wouldn't say blaming each other, but there's certainly a lot of frustration can amount to that team when things aren't going right. They don't seem to know where to ask the questions. They don't know, the manager doesn't seem to know where's plan B. And that's very much the same for Aston Villa. So if plan A doesn't go right for either team, the other team's going to capitalise. Absolutely. They're very even.
I'm glad that you put it that way, because I was going to look at these two matches and going into this, it's going to be the team that makes the least mistakes. Because if you look at all these matches, goals come from mistakes and just opportunities. And who's going to be the more opportunistic from the mistakes that the other team makes? You know, we could look at the set piece. You're very good at taking set pieces. You scored a goal at Villa Park. You have the situation with your goalkeeper, who doesn't make many mistakes. He makes a mistake, we capitalize. I think we're going to see that, James, because you're right. The teams are very even when you look at them. Talent-wise, they're very even, and I think it's going to come down to who can execute best and who can take advantage of the other team's mistakes. Does that make sense?
No, you're spot on, Russ. I think you're completely right, because it's a high-pressure match. It might not be this free-flowing, attacking occasion of football that fans across the world tune in to, you know, to warm themselves up for the Champions League final. It could be a real battle, and Aston Villa have been in two recently and won.
Right.
And Fulham themselves, they were destroyed. They were out of the race. You know, in the first leg, it was gone, and they brought it back. You know, I know it was only a one-goal lead, but it's still the loss, isn't it? They've still shown, you know, someone's shown you that you're immortal. You know, you're mortal twice. You know, Birmingham, Derby, you bounce back from that. You bounce back from that. And you can see where the mistakes are going to come from. If Aston Villa try too hard, there's going to be mistakes. If Fulham slip off the gas, there's going to be mistakes. So, yeah, these teams really do have a howler in them.
That's what's a little scary about this match, because as we're thinking about this, I'm thinking about some of the mistakes Fulham have made over the season. And then I've seen the flip side of how they've been able to take advantage of a team's mistakes. So that's why I think it's all about execution, my friend. I think it's whoever can take advantage of the other will get promoted. And that's what makes this thing very interesting and very tough to look at. But we're going to break it down, and I definitely look forward to getting more of your view on this. And as we look towards Wembley, let's talk about, we talked about this the last time we talked about, I'm curious if the strengths and weaknesses for you have changed at all since the first time we talked.
Yeah, so when we talked, I believe back in February, Aston Villa was still evolving. Jack Grealish was coming into the game. We play a lot more football on the ground. Early this season, we had no choice but to kick it through the air to Albert Adoma and Keenan Davis up front. We've changed now because our players have come into their prime. We can play good football. We can use Jack Grealish and his talents to dribble the ball across the pitch and play in key players. So yeah, our strengths, they've evolved. The weaknesses have always stayed the same though, and that's that Aston Villa do switch off. They have had so many occasions this season where they could take second place and no one could question them, and they've slipped up. And I'm sure you'll be the same, where you fought so hard to get to the end, and when the end came, you couldn't quite do it. And that's been our story as well. So the weaknesses, they're there for everyone to see, but the strengths have evolved. The weaknesses, they have stayed the same. And while I will say that John Terry is settling in very well, you remember the Champions League final, his biggest occasion, and it didn't quite come off for him, did it?
It didn't. And it's funny that you talk about Terry, because I wanted to talk about one matchup that I think is going to be key. We talked about this the last time. Your center back pairing, Chester's very good, and obviously Terry has all this experience. Going against Mitrovic, I think this could be a key battle. Your thoughts about how your team can withstand Mitrovic, who can be extremely influential in a match.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many teams that have come up against us with a talismanic striker. Britta Sambalonga, I think Mitrovic is a far more prestigious striker than a young Sambalonga. But we've dealt with that. We've dealt with that threat centrally. I think if Terry doesn't have the pace, and a lot of Fulham fans, you know, will quite happily tell you that. Yep. But he doesn't. He's never needed that. He's an excellent reader of the game. I know it's right. cliche, but he can judge moves before they happen. And the only way you will beat him is if you can trick him. Mitrovic has that. Mitrovic has that in him. He's a firebrand. He's an explosive striker. He's just, you know, he hasn't had the temperament issues so far. No. At Fulham, where he's had about Newcastle. It's a big game. We'll see what happens. If there's one person that's going to wind him up, it's John Terry. That being said, Terry has a fantastic partner, James Chester.
Right.
It's a shame that we don't revere James Chester in this country. I know he's Welsh, but we don't revere him as much as John Terry because he's a class defender. He's, you know, if he were playing for West Germany in the 70s and 80s, I think you'd revere him like Beckenbauer. And he doesn't get the credit he probably deserves. And I know he's in Who Scored's team of the season. I know Villa appreciate him. But I don't think that extends to the larger football world. And I think if you're looking at John Terry as the main guy in defence, maybe you need to look to his side and see James Chester.
Okay, very interesting there, my friend. All right. I'm now going to ask you about what you think is going to be Steve Bruce's strategy. I listened to some audio from him earlier. And he knows that Fulham are going to try to possess the ball. And he obviously, I'm paraphrasing, has a plan for that. And I'm curious what you think his plan is going to be. But before I get your thoughts on that, I want to read some quotes to you from Slavisa Jokanović from his presser earlier, because I find them a little bit revealing and want to know if they match up a little bit with what you know about your side. So this is what he had to say about Villa. Here are the quotes from Slavisa. Quote, Villa are an organized and strong team, a good team. They're in the final like us and deserve to be there. Steve Bruce knows very well how to protect his defensive line, but we expect we can put these players under some kind of stress and pressure to do them damage. When asked if playing at Wembley would suit his side, Jokanović replied, quote, yes, why not? We believe we play great football and have more opportunities to win the game. We are two good teams with a little bit of different styles. We're probably going to try and move it a little bit more. They won't surprise us. They'll try and score some goals from set pieces, from some individual action after some offensive transition. We must follow our style. It's not a question of taking risk or not. We'll try to dominate the situation, put them under stress. Okay. I want to get your thoughts on what Slavisa shared from his presser, especially how he thinks that Villa could score goals here.
He's bang on. Jokanović, one of the smartest, most talented managers in this league. And he's bang on. He's done his homework. And if Steve Bruce was as eloquent as him, I think he'd be saying the same things week in and week out. He's I can't fault him for that, Russ, to be honest. I think he's nailed us. We do rely on individual talent. We do soak up pressure and bounce back. We're spring-loaded. I'm not so much sure about the set pieces. I know I've seen a score for you, and I'm sure you have as well. Earlier this season, but I've never noticed us rely on them, and I've never noticed us focus on them to win a match. Although they did against Middlesbrough, definitely the individual talent. You know, you're looking at Jack Grealish to win a ball from a Fulham attack and run across the pitch, dribbling past, and then setting someone up at the end of it. You're looking for Robert Snodgrass to do the same. You're looking for him to win a free kick, cross it in. You're looking for Albert Odoma to trick her and cut in on the inside. You're looking for that individual brilliance. And, you know, you should be happy he said that, because it's everything we see as fans. Sure. So he's done his homework.
No, he has. And I just want to mention, he's talking about the individual action after some offensive transition. And this is what concerns me. The fact that I'm glad that he's aware of it. Obviously, he's done his homework. But when I look back at how Fulham played against Derby County, if I'm using that as an example, whenever they got the ball, they were extremely dangerous countering us. And I look at your side, and I know that you have much better talent than Derby County. If some Derby County supporters are listening, so be it. I don't care. You have more players that can do damage to us. So thoughts on that? Because, again, I remember I was talking prior. You've said, you know, you're fine with us having the ball it's going to come from when you get the ball and how you take it from there.
Yeah, we're perfectly comfortable with a team having the ball. Middlesbrough tried for so long to score against us and they couldn't. You know, we were on the back foot for most of that match and we definitely looked more dangerous going forward. And that just ramps up against Fulham because you've got a team that's very creative, that has some, you know, dangerous talent. You know, you've got Sessegnon on the wing, Kenny in the middle. That's dangerous talent. I mean, I'd take Grealish over Kenny, but I wouldn't take Sessegnon over Adoma. So we've almost got the best of both worlds in each team. We'd have to see how that stacks up. If Tom Kenny can get a shot in across the box and pull it past Johnson and score, that's what's going to matter. If he can take advantage of his chances, if Grealish slips up on his, then the match is wide open. Going back to the point about individual brilliance, it's going to come back to these players turning up, to be honest.
Okay, well, very good. Well, before we go any further, what do you think is going to be his strategy? I'm talking about Bruce, because I was trying to read between the lines when he was talking. He knows about the possession. I'm thinking about some matches that have gone between our two teams in the last two seasons. I remember trying to high press us at one point at Villa Park last season, but then a different approach at Craven Cottage this year. And what Derby County did, James, and this is what makes me try to think about what is going to be the approach. Is it going to be like a full-out press, or are they going to wait till we get into their part of the pitch and then they're going to put the press on? What are your thoughts about this? Because I think I'm expecting some kind of press. What kind of strategy do you think you're going to see from Bruce?
What kind of strategy we're going to see from Bruce is it's the one Jukanovic has stated out. We're going to soak up pressure. We're going to man mark. We're going to take our battles. We prepared the dossier on Adama. I'm pretty sure one exists for Sessegnon. Alan Hutton will have to do his job. You know, the fullbacks are key here. Right. And they're going to have to do their job. And we might have one out. That's Ahmed Al-Mohammadi. May miss the game. So we are down a man on the flanks. Alan Hutton will have to step up and do the job he's done all season. And mark his man and keep his man out of the game. And that looks like it'll be Sessegnon. Okay. So we'll have to see, Russ, really what happens there. But Bruce, he'll look to definitely soak up attacks. Use the experience of John Terry, the defensive might of James Chester. Bring those fullbacks in. Make sure Fulham can't get, you know, keep it narrow. Let Fulham have the flanks. Just ensure the ball doesn't beat you in the box. Let them have that room, then get ready for the counter. Because we'll let Adama do his dance on the wing. We'll let Sessegnon run at us. As long as he can't put that final ball across the box, it don't matter.
Okay, very good. Are you talking about Kamara?
Yeah, whomever's going to come in.
Okay, very good.
Sessegnon's on the left, isn't he?
Yes, Sessegnon's on the left. The person on the right is going to be interesting because it could be one of a few people. It could be Kamara, who played in the last match. It could be Ayite. It could be Piazon. It could be even possibly Cabano. I don't think it's going to be Ojo. That's the position that we're all talking about, who's going to play on the right. So that's the one that we're not sure about because that'll be up to Jokanović to make that call because it's something that has changed. And it might be a last-minute decision. I don't know. You know, and again, I'm sure he has a plan on it, but it's an interesting point, who's going to play on the right for Fulham. No, who's going to play on the left?
I think what you'll see is Alan Hutton's usually our left back, so he'll be marking whoever's on your right. What I think you'll see is Alan Hutton will follow Sessegnon. We'll play to what you do. So if Sessegnon's on the left or switches to the right, Alan Hutton will follow like he did. That's what we did against the Dynamo. I think that's
right. Villa will do.
I think we'll adapt to how you play, and I think we'll put our man, our strongest man, and that's Hutton, on Sessegnon.
Very interesting. Okay, I'm glad that you shared that. All right. Who are your key players for this match? I'm going to say my key players are the midfield three, because if they're doing their thing, I think Fulham are going to be in good shape. They're going to try to dominate and control the play, as Jokanović says all the time. So I'm talking about McDonald, Kearney, and Johansson. That's the engine for Fulham. How about you? Who are your key players for Aston Villa?
We've got Miller Jedinak. I think if he plays, he'll certainly be key. But his quality is winning the ball in the air. We did see him put some meaty tackles in on the floor. His qualities are winning the ball in the air. I think whoever plays in defensive midfield, be Glenn Whelan, Miller Jedinak, or Birkir Bjarnason, that's a key position for us, because that's the position that will win us the game. Not only will they break up attacks for us, but they'll be there at set pieces, or in the case of Bjarnason, they'll dribble across the pitch and they'll score like he did against Wolves, or get that spring-loaded attack going. Of course, there's Jack Grealish. I'm not going to speak about Jack Grealish for us, sure, because everyone knows about Jack Grealish. But you've got a guy who will look up, he'll see the front, he'll see the stadium, he'll see the pitch, he'll know it's a big occasion and the cameras run, and he turns up every single time. You know, bar the FA Cup final, he turns up when it's a big stage. So we'll be looking out for that. In front of goal, I'm not too sure. Lewis Graben, he works hard. He really does work hard. He's I wouldn't say he's Mitrovic.
What's happened to Kaja?
After so long out, I think he's come back and it's not clicked for him. He needed the work for pre-season, and he has had two quite debilitating ankle injuries. And he just doesn't seem to fit into the side at all. He won't press.
He's such a talented player.
Yeah, it's disappointing, and I think no one will be more disappointed than him. That's another cliche I've rolled out for you. But I think this end of season's come too soon for him, and I think he needed the rest of the season off to recover and become the player we know he can be. But I'm not too upset with Graben. He presses from the front, he does the job, and he has been to Wembley in a playoff situation and won. So not too upset with the fact that we've got Graben up front. And we've talked about James Chester and John Terry and Sam Johnston. I think Robert Snodgrass will be key. That trickery, there's no one like him almost. And there's players that are faster, but he is wily. And he knows the game inside out. He knows what referees are going to do. He's been here. He's experienced, and he's got a hell of a left foot. So we'll see what our key players can do. But I think you know about Grealish. I'm not gonna talk about him. You know, I think you'll be fed up. Fulham fans will be fed up with us rolling on about Grealish, and I'm not here to annoy anyone. So
Well, before we move on any further, you and I have talked a great deal. Are we in unison on this, that this match should be decided in central midfield, whichever team takes control of it?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I don't know if it'll be a sludgy battle in midfield, but it's going to be. It might certainly be end to end. It might certainly be worrying for both teams. I think I don't know if the ball will be in the air a lot. Fulham like to play it on the floor, and I think Villa are quite comfortable with either approach. As long as the ball's hitting Grealish, and as long as he's a great passer of the ball, I'd ask Fulham fans to look out for that. It's a quality. He can set up moves before they happen. It's almost like telegraphing it. So yeah, I do think there'll be a battle there.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's why I wanted to bring that up, my friend. All right, I'm going to put you back in the shoes of Slavisa Jokanović. I did this the last time. What would be your strategy against Aston Villa?
What Jokanović always does, he has played well against us. Even when you lost, you didn't play tremendously bad. The result was there. It was only a one goal victory, if I remember, and that's always debatable if there's only one goal in it. And getting beat from a set piece, it happens to the best teams in the world. Set pieces are there to take advantage of. You're going to get beat. It's going to happen. Set pieces are almost, oftentimes, the throw-ins from Tony Pulis when he's at Stoke, they're indefensible. Set pieces are there to be taken advantage of. Yep. I'd ask you, if I was Jokanović, I'd be asking my team to keep a clear head, not get frustrated, not do what they did against Birmingham, and realise that as soon as the adversity is there, start getting frustrated and start losing their heads. They didn't perform well against Birmingham. I think you guys would admit that as much as I will. Absolutely. And I was as disappointed almost, and not for the fact that you were out the playoffs. But you did deserve that second place, and you did deserve to beat Birmingham. But you should have on paper. But it was disappointing for me because you see an immortal team, a team that has done so well this season, find that they aren't that strong or that good, because it can all, even the best teams can fall apart in a match, and the weakness is there. It's in your head. You've done it. You lost against Derby and plaudits for bouncing back. You had your celebration. You've got to bottle that. You've got to use that. The fact that you've come back from those two losses and won, and you've not got to think about the losses. Almost you've not got to think about, hey, we've been here and we have lost. And if something goes wrong for you, you've got to carry on and stick to your plan. Stick to your plan.
Listen, I completely agree with you. And I'm glad that you said that, because I'm looking at it. I think we're going to learn a lot about Fulham early in this match. If they can weather any kind of storm from Aston Villa in the first 20 minutes, I think that they can then settle into this match. You have the experience, so this is going to be on Fulham to, like you said, keep their heads, even if they get down a goal. I think that's going to be telling. Can they keep their heads, even if the goal goes to the other team? They're going to have to, and and that's what I'm looking at. It's going to be about composure. Which team keeps the best composure and takes advantage of the other team? And if I'm Jokanović, I just basically say, just stick to what we do. And if they get ahead, so be it. And do not lose your head. And that's, I'm glad that you brought that up, my friend. All right. What players concern you most from an Aston Villa perspective on Fulham?
Of course, Sessegnon. But again, the same with Grealish. I'm not going to speak about Sessegnon because you guys know how good Sessegnon is. And we know how good he is when he ran, Tuanzebe took him out of the match last time until...
He did a good job, by the way.
He got smart. Sessegnon got smart and he did what he does. He's a smart young player. And, that's his key quality, not his pace or his finish. It's his ability to play the game. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate what he did against Tuanzebe because I don't think it came from the manager. I think it came from him himself because, how can you tell someone across the pitch to suddenly change position, 60 minutes into a game? You can't do that. I think he did a good job against Tuanzebe, but Tuanzebe's not Alan Hutton, and Alan Hutton's going to harass him. So we'll see how he does with that. Kearney's Kearney. We know all about Kearney. We know he can change a game. I'm going to talk more about Mitrovic because you need that you need that dynamic forward, and he is that. He's a big game player.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's also a big game player in the other way. And, if things don't go Fulham's way, what I worry about is a two-footed lunge or a fight early on. If you find yourself one or two goals down or 2-1 down and it's 45 minutes, how does that affect Mitrovic? I know Jokanović gets the light out of him because they're countrymen. They're both from Serbia. I think Jokanović speaks on his level. But, it could get heated. And it concerns me, not necessarily that he's a dynamic, explosive forward. It's the fact that he could worry a few of our players. Would you want to go near him when you could see the steam coming off him? If he's passionate and ramping forward at Villa, would you want to go near him? Would you want to puff your chest up and try and go head to head with Mitrovic? Certainly John Terry would. But would our midfielders? I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that's an interesting take there, my friend. All right. Give me your starting 11.
Starting of 11? Got yep. Sam Johnstone in goal. You've seen him. Hopefully he doesn't drop a clanger again. Centre-backs will be James Chester, John Terry. On the left, depending where Sessegnon is, we'll have Alan Hutton, who might be on the right. It depends if on your man's movement. I believe Ahmed Al-Mohammadi will be back to counterpart Hutton, depending on which flank he's on the other flank. If Al-Mohammadi isn't back, we'll see young James Bree, who settled into the game against Middlesbrough after a nervy spell. So that's our defence. We'll have one of... I believe it'll be Mile Jedinak that will start in defensive midfield.
Yep.
Because he's done such a good job so far, despite the fact that you guys aren't going to lump it out. Like,
I was going to say, we're not going to do that. So maybe that would be an option for someone else.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe you look to see Bjarki Bjarnason come in.
Right.
But then Mile Jedinak is a big game player. He's been here. He scored hat-tricks when the cameras are on him. Australia. Against Honduras, he scored in a big match for Australia, two penalties and a free kick. He's been to the Plaza and won it. I think my gut instinct is to go with Jedinak because he possibly, out of all games, those two playoff games, was our man of the match. And if it isn't working and we can get into half-time on a 0-0 lead, maybe you do change it up, maybe you bring Jedinak on if someone else is on. But my gut instinct, mate, is to go with Jedinak because I think despite the fact that you can run past him, again, he reads the game well. And if you're looking for someone to put in a challenge and leave someone on the floor, not necessarily a dirty challenge, but something they'd feel, it'll be Jedinak. So I'd go with him, defensive midfield. The box-to-box midfielder, it's always going to be Conor Hourihan. Excellent player, someone who deserves so badly to be in the Premier League. He can go missing, but he scored 10 or 11 goals for us this season from midfield, which is an unprecedented figure for us. We haven't seen that since about 1992. We haven't had 10 goals from midfield, since the dawn of the Premier League. So it'll be good to see if he turns up. I'm sure he will. But he's tenacious. He's a presser. He's a terrier. He's the footballing equivalent of a little Yorkshire terrier barking away and harassing players, getting in there. So Jedinak can do his job. And he's also at the other end of the pitch playing in people like Grealish. He's got a great long shot on him. and is a good, you know, you could see a surprising free kick from him. He'll definitely be the box-to-box man. Of course, the number 8 slash number 10 will be Jack Grealish,
right,
roving forward all over the pitch. He doesn't stay up the top end, mate. He will defend, you know, heavily. He's a player who he knows how to tackle now. He knows how to defend. He also knows how to hold onto the ball while I'm playing smarter options. Maybe sometimes he doesn't. He'll go on pitch long dribbles and waste the end, but he's still scary. If I'm Fulham, I'll be quite worried. Can our defenders step up and take the ball off him? And if they can they do it without getting themselves booked or getting sent off? Be a big question, but he'll definitely be starting in that 8-10 role, kind of as a in the midfield three, pressing up.
Right.
The flanks, Albert Adoma and Snodgrass, no questions asked. And up front, I believe it will be Lewis Graben. All signs point to him.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, to wrap this up, I want your prediction. And obviously, you're going to predict Aston Villa. I wouldn't expect anything less, right?
So, I'm going to predict Aston Villa. But I'm going to say,
go ahead.
I will say this, it's going to go to 2-2. I'm not going to predict the teams who are going to score first. I believe either way, it's going to ask big questions of the team go into halftime. I believe it'll be 2-2. And I believe, you know, I think it's going to go to penalties. I really do. It's going to be a penalty shootout.
Don't say that. Don't say that. James, that would be too much for both of us.
Imagine if John Terry slips against Fulham. Oh, God. No, I think he's got some redemption to do. He has.
Wow. So you are predicting penalties. That's going to end this episode of Cottage Talk. I don't think I can handle anything else. I understand. This is two evenly matched teams. I like the matchup, and I'll tell you why I like the matchup from a Fulham perspective. I did not like the matchup. It was going to be Middlesbrough. It's nothing against Astonville. I just think that that was a bad matchup for Fulham with the way Middlesbrough play. I think this is a good matchup for Fulham, but it's also a good matchup for your team. We both know how to play each other, and I just think it's going to be a better brand of football regardless. Even if it's not like free-flowing football, it's going to be a better game. I think the two right teams are where they need to be, and that's at Wembley, and it should be pretty close. Penalties, I think you're going to have to just basically, get me off the floor to handle that one. But I understand why you're predicting that, my friend. All right, listen, before we go, please tell everyone how they can follow you on Twitter and also your podcast.
Me and Danny Raza speak about Aston Villa on the Holtcast. You can find that Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, and on 7500 to Holt, which is the Aston Villa blog on SB Nation that I do have the pleasure of running. You can find me personally at Jamo Rushton. I am on private because I have annoyed a few Fulham fans with some of my comments. And I do remember every time I say something stupid that Russ is a Fulham fan and I like Russ and I get on with him. So you can find me at Jamo Rushton. No hate, please. Save it for after the Wembley final.
Okay.
And I do wish that you guys the best game. And if you don't go up this season, you would definitely be in a positive picture next year. The problems you have in the Premier League will be the same in the Championship. So look forward to a good season regardless. Positive.
Okay. Well, listen, James, best of luck on Saturday. I'll be there. You're going to be there and we'll see what happens. And if it goes to penalties, I'm basically have both hands over my face because I don't think I can watch that. But but again, thank you so much for giving the opposition view of this match. I really appreciate it. I know the Fulham supporters will enjoy our conversation today, but let's wrap it up. For James Rushton, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.